Welcome to the Shir and Targum in Parashas Mishpatim. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Jerry and Diane Reich, marking the yard side tonight of his father, Menachem Mendel Bereb Baruch. The Shomash Levin Aliyah should see much Nachas Ruach and the Torah Mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim that the entire family are involved in. So we started yesterday taking a look at a Targum Unkulos in Parashas Mishpatim, which is a non-literal translation and leads into quite a bit of discussion in the Rishonim. So just we'll review a little bit of what we spoke about the last 5 minutes of yesterday's Shir, and then we'll take the discussion from there. The beginning of Perek Chof Beis in Mishpatim, the Torah talks about the halach of a baba machteris, somebody who's tunneling into somebody else's house with the intention of stealing. And the pasuk says, "Im b'machteres yimotzei aganov," if the thief is found in this tunnel, in the process of tunneling secretly into somebody else's house, v'hukav omeis, and the homeowner strikes him down and kills him, kills the thief, ein lo domim, the homeowner is not responsible for killing the thief. And we quoted Rashi. Rashi writes, "Kan limdascha Torah." The Torah is teaching us over here in Bala Hargacha Hashkem Lahargo. There's a general principle. If you see someone coming to kill you, you can take preemptive action and kill him. Meaning, it goes without saying, if he's actually fighting against you, that you can defend yourself even at the cost of his life. But even if you see that he's going to kill you, you don't have to wait till he actually pulls the trigger. You know, oh, he started first. You know, you could take preemptive action to take him out. So what does that have to do with the Baba Machteris? The Baba Machteris, the guy tunneling into the home, isn't a murderer. He's a thief. He's not a nice guy, but, you know, he's not trying to kill you. So says Rashi, no, that's not true. V'zeh l'hargacha ba, the guy tunneling into the house has the intent of killing you. Sharei yodeyahu she'ein adam maimid atzmo v'roa she'not lin mamoro b'fano v'shosek. This thief is fully aware that the average person is not going to just stand by and let somebody come in and walk off with all of his valuables, right? Rather, the homeowner is going to try to defend his property. That's natural. L'fikach al-menas kenbo, so the thief has in mind, the burglar has in mind, shim yamod ba'la mom kenegdo yargenu. He's prepared to kill the homeowner in order, you know, that's part of his plan. He'd rather not kill the homeowner. He'd rather the homeowner step aside. But he's prepared to kill the homeowner, if need be. I mean, that's part of what goes through your mind if you're a burglar under these circumstances. And since he's prepared to kill the homeowner has the right to preemptively kill him, and he's not going to be held liable. And we see that, you know, the homeowner is not told by the Torah, just step out of the way and let the guy come and walk off with all your possessions. That the homeowner is not obligated to do that. He has the right to defend his possessions. He has the right to defend his possessions, even if it means that he's going to kill the invader, the intruder. So that's Pasuk Aleph. Then comes Pasuk Beis and says, well, this isn't always true. There are exceptions to this rule. Sometimes the homeowner is not allowed to kill the intruder. Im zarcha hashemesh olav, if the sun shines on him, domim lo. So then, if the homeowner kills the intruder, he's held liable for his blood. So what is imzarcha hashemesh olav? You know, the sun shines on him. What does that mean? You know, it sounds strange. So Rashi tells us, ein ze elkemin mashal. We're not talking really about the sun, not the sun. Yes, the sun. You know, the sun shining on the intruder is a mashal. It's a turn of phrase. And it means as follows. Im baru l'cha adover, sheyesh lo shalom imcha kashemesh hazesh hu shalom ba'olam. If the scenario is such that you feel absolutely confident that the intruder is not going to harm the homeowner, right? That it's as clear as the sun, and the sun is a sign of peace in the world. It's clear that he's not going to threaten your life. Kach poshut l'chosh eno bo laharog. Afil yamod ba'al ha'momen kenegdo. Thus too, it's clear to the homeowner that his life is not threatened. So then, you don't have the right, the homeowner doesn't have the right to kill the intruder. What's a scenario where the homeowner can feel confident that the intruder is not going to harm him? Kigon av hachoser lignov mamon haben. So again, this is all quoting from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? It's, who's the intruder? The father. Who's the homeowner? His son. The father is tunneling into the son's home to make off with all of his merchandise. So, you know, the father has no compulsion stealing from the son or breaking into his home or anything like that. However, we know that even in the most desperate of circumstances, a father would never kill his son. So we know that the father, with all that he's a thief and he's a burglar, and, you know, is obviously, you know, there's some dysfunctionality going on in this relationship between father and son. Maybe they should all go to therapy, you know. But okay, believing all of that aside, you know, we know that the father is not going to kill the son. The father is not a threat to the son's life. So the son, the homeowner, under those circumstances, doesn't have the right to kill the intruder. Somewhat eerily, the Gemara says, if the positions were reversed, we can't necessarily assume that. If the son was breaking into his father's home, so then it's not obvious that the son wouldn't kill his father in order to complete his act of burglary, so says the Gemara. And in that case, the father would have the ability to kill the son to prevent him from, you know, from taking all of the possessions in the house. Now again, in all likelihood, based on what we just said now, the father wouldn't want to kill the son under those circumstances, right? But he would have the right to. In other words, he would, you know, he can't assume that the son is going to be as peaceful towards him as he would be towards the son. Again, it's, you know, hopefully a situation that's not one we encounter, but that's Rashi's explanation based on the Gemara.
Based
Which part of it?
And both parts of Rashi. In the first part, we said I could kill the person.
Right.
When the guy comes to me, is it based on Persha or Pet that was passed down from Moshe? Because this is his logical thought process.
Right. So Rashi over here is really quoting this Gemara in Sanhedrin. No, it's not really Rashi. It's really more the Gemara itself. And, you know, the concept that Habola Hargo, Chahashkem Lahargo, that's a tradition we have for Moshe at Sinai. And this distinction between the Av and the Ben, you know, the father and the son, that apparently also is a tradition that we have, you know, from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So that's Rashi's interpretation of this unusual term, Imzarcha Hashemesh Olav, if the sun shines on him. And again, that's based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and, you know, that certainly is an interpretation that goes from the Torah Shebaal Peh. So you say, okay, if that's what it means, that's what it means. But apparently, besides the Gemara's drasha, it's possible that there's a more simple, a pshat-based level of understanding the pasuk, and it would seem that that's what the Targum Onkelos is driving at when he gives the following translation. The Targum Onkelos writes, "Imzarcha Hashemesh Olav," if the sun shines on him, meaning a scenario where the homeowner does not have the right to kill the intruder, is translated, "Im eino de sahadaya nefalas alohi." If the eye of the witnesses fell upon the intruder, meaning, in other words, there were witnesses who saw the intruder, so then the homeowner is going to be liable for killing the intruder. He can't kill the intruder if there were witnesses. So where do the witnesses come in? What's the logic behind that? So Rashi quotes the Targum Onkelos. Onkelos shetir gamim eino de sahadaya nefalas alohi, lo kachlo shita acheres, right? So says Rashi, Onkelos' translation over here seems to be a different way of understanding the pasuk. Rashi doesn't negate Onkelos' way of understanding it. Again, shivim panu la Torah, there are 70 ways of understanding the Torah, but he seems to be saying something different than Rashi. And what is that? So Rashi explains the Onkelos as follows. Lomar, Onkelos is saying, she'imit sa'u edim kodim shabal balabayis. If the intruder is discovered by witnesses before the homeowner shows up, ukshebo bal habayis negdo, and then a few minutes later the homeowner shows up, so now, you know, you got, it's a party for four, the intruder, the two witnesses, and the homeowner shows up, and the witnesses hisru bo, shelo yaharguhu, they warn the homeowner, look, don't kill this guy, don't kill this guy, you know, don't be so quick to kill him. So then, if he's warned, damim lo, chayuv alav im hargo. right? So then the homeowner is going to be held liable if he kills the intruder.
Why?
So you say, why? Good question. So Rashi explains, Shemeachar sheyesh roim lo, ein haganov hazeh ba'al iskei nefashos. Now that there are witnesses, we feel confident that the thief is not going to kill anybody. Why? Because now that there are witnesses, if he does kill somebody, he could, you know, he could face execution himself. Right? So the presence of witnesses makes the situation similar to what Rashi described before, the father breaking into the son's house, where we're confident that the father is not going to murder the son in the process of the home break-in. So too, if there are witnesses there, you know, you hire two armed guards, you know, to guard the basement. And, you know, these witnesses are going to, they're going to potentially give testimony against this assailant and bring him, to be executed. So there we say, lo yarogus bala mamon, we feel confident that he's not going to kill the homeowner. If we're confident that he's not going to kill the homeowner, so then the homeowner, in turn, doesn't have a right to kill him. Yeah?
I can understand probability.
Yeah.
But to say, when he talks about humans and what they're going to, what someone's going to do, you can't say it 100%. The father won't kill the son, the son will kill the father, right? If there's a witness, if a guy's angry, and he gets busted, so it's human nature,
right,
not to be able to predict 100%.
Right. So the question is, can we ever predict something with 100% certainty,
right,
that the homeowner's life is not in danger? So I think the answer to that really touches on something very basic in halacha, which is that when we feel close to 100% certainty about something, we can consider it as if we have 100% certainty. So just to give an example, the Gemara talks about soklin ala chazokos, that we can put people to death based on presumptions. What do you mean we can put people to death based on presumptions? So we know there are all kinds of capital crimes that are connected to incest, right? A person has a sexual relationship with somebody who's his relative, right? So people can be put to death on the basis of having that kind of relationship. So let me ask you a klutz kasha. How do I know that they're really related? Right? In other words, a guy has there are witnesses that he slept with his sister. Okay? It's incest. It's a capital offense. He can be put to death for that. Let me ask you a dumb question. Just because they grew up in that same house together, and they have the same last name, and they were, we always considered them to be brother and sister, it's not 100% necessarily the case that they're actually brother and sister. I mean, every once in a while you hear some crazy story where, there are two people who think that they're brother and sister, and it turns out that, in fact, they're actually not. So how do you ever put somebody to death, based on their involvement in an incestuous relationship? Who's to say that what we assume the relationships to be are what they are in fact? Again, you may say, well, that's a very, very small chance that they're not brother and sister if for their whole lives we've, assumed that they're brother and sister. Okay, but you can't tell me it's not a possibility. So the answer is, basically says the Gemara, you're right. But, once there's a reasonable assumption up to a certain point that X is true, we can operate as if X is true, even though, again, we don't have 100% certitude about anything really in the world. No, that's true. We don't have 100% certitude about everything in the world. But, we operate with close to 100% certitude, even if it's not going to be foolproof. So I think that's true over here as well. Can I tell you it never happened in history that a father killed a son? That it never happened in history that, when there are witnesses there that, the guy still didn't, kill the homeowner? I assume it could happen and probably did happen at some point, but it's so remote statistically that we don't even consider as being significant.
Remote.
Yeah.
You have a situation, you have two witnesses, and you have a guy who's come in, he's ready to steal things. First of all, if the guy is from that's one thing. If he's from somewhere else and he couldn't care less.
Right.
Okay, now, I'm the homeowner, I come home, he's in my house, he's
right,
taking my jewelry, he's
right,
taking my dad. I can't, I have to have a right to defend myself and to protect my property.
Right, right, right.
I mean, I can't take out a gun and shoot him, you know, whatever, but I can take a bat and hit him.
Right, right, right.
I mean, and you gotta allow, you know, you can't just stay back and say, okay, he's not going to kill me, so therefore he can just rob me.
No, so I have the right to prevent him from robbing me, but I don't have the right to kill him to prevent him from robbing me. There's still a difference between those two things.
Yes, but if I'm in a position
swing for his
where I'm
knees.
Defending myself,
right.
And I get into a fight with him, and I'm trying to stop him, but by accident he is killed.
Right, no, so I think
Right,
so that might be a different case than the Baba Machteres. And as Baba Machteres means that I can preemptively kill him before he really, you know, is immediately a threat to me. So in other words, I see the guy coming in the tunnel, you know, I check my video camera, and I, you know, always put a video camera in the tunnel that you have under your house, you know, that leads into your basement. That's just a word to the wise, right? So I check my video camera, I see the guy's coming through my tunnel, and I say, oh, this is great, you know, let me just push the button and release the alligators that I have, you know, in the cages on the side of the tunnel.
Then Eastwood, go ahead, make my day.
What's that? Yeah, right, or, you know, I open up the door and start shooting into the tunnel, you know?
Right.
So according to, you know, the case above Machteris is I'm allowed to do that, right? In other words, forget about the fact that when he comes in, I can struggle, I can try to take the stuff away and all of that. And then, you know, if there's a struggle and I kill him during the struggle in self-defense, that's a different thing. That's Baba Machteris. That's not Baba Machteris. That's just killing the guy in self-defense. Baba Machteris means it's a special heter that I can kill him in a preemptive way before he's even in the house. I can kill him. But says Unculus, if there are witnesses, so I can't kill him preemptively, right? Because, you know, there I have to be concerned that the witnesses are going to report him. You know, he's going to end, if he does threaten my life, you know, he's going to end up perhaps paying the ultimate price for that. So I don't have to be worried, really, that there's a threat against my life. Now, there's a threat against my property. I can protect my property. But I can't just preemptively start shooting into the tunnel if there are witnesses there.
So yeah. Let's assume you have a security system that would kill anybody that came through under your home. The minute they broke, let's say, the seal or whatever,
right,
that'd be a problem with your halakhically, right? Because you don't know. I mean, would there be a halakhic issue?
Right.
You already have a preemptive strike already set up for the person. The minute he breaks through the breaks.
Right. He breaks through the thing, and the spikes come out of the wall, and
right.
You know, that's that's it. Yeah, right. So it's interesting, right? I mean, I can't really imagine.
There's going to be witnesses.
Right, right. You know, press one for witnesses, press two for right, right. So do you have to assume that there are going to be witnesses there? Maybe not. Maybe in a pure halachic sense, you can just set up a booby trap.
Right.
You know, that's going to take him out. It's an interesting question. I mean, again, it doesn't sound like such a Jewish thing to do, but again, the truth is, in real life. The guy who's tunneling into your house may not just be coming. I mean, in real life, you know, he's probably not. He's not just coming for your menorah. A guy who's tunneling into your house may be coming for you, right? Now, there's a Bob Machteris case, Rahmat al Islam, right? The Bob Machteris case is you feel confident that what he really wants is the menorah. It's just that he's going to potentially kill you in order to get it. In a less theoretical scenario, in a more practical scenario, a guy who's breaking into your house or breaking into your shul or whatnot may be coming after you. He may not care about the menorah, right? Unless he's bent on you. So, you know, there, you know, you really have the ability to preemptively take him out under those circumstances.
Yeah.
So, again, it's a somewhat narrow, you know, scenario that the Torah is talking about. It's not taking into account the guy who's coming in to kill, you know, expressly to kill, not just to kill as a byproduct. And it's not taking into account, you know, when you actually get into a struggle with him. It's really preemptively taking out a thief, you know, in order to prevent him from killing down the line. So that's Rashi's interpretation of this Targum Unculus. The Ramban is a little bothered by one aspect of this Rashi, because Rashi says the role of the Edim is that they can give hasra, they can warn the balabas, the homeowner, don't kill this guy. Don't kill this guy. That's what he says. right? When the balabayis, the homeowner, steps into the situation, hisru bo shelo yahargu. The edim will give hasra. They will admonish the homeowner that he shouldn't kill the intruder. So the Ramban says, well, I mean, obviously, not only this case, but the previous case, the first case, Pasuk Aleph, where the homeowner is allowed, you know, is allowed to kill the intruder, and he's exonerated if he does kill the intruder. That's obviously also talking about a case where there were witnesses who warned him, you know, that you might be liable if you kill this person. Why do we say that? Well, because otherwise, obviously, he would get off. In other words, the person is never put to death unless there are witnesses and they warn the person. So even in Pasuk Aleph, where the Torah says the homeowner is not going to be held liable, that's to say, despite there being witnesses and despite, you know, his being warned, he's not going to be liable. So just to the Ramban himself suggests that Ulay is kaving harav lomar. Maybe what Rashi has in mind is as follows: Shimitzau edim kodem shabo balabayis vikiruhu. If the edim, the witnesses, come before the homeowner comes vikiru, and they recognize the ganov, they know who he is, that guy. Vaganov yoda bahem, and the ganov, the thief, is well aware of these witnesses. Eino ba aliskein afoshos achshav. So now we know that he's not coming. We're fairly certain that he's not going to kill anyone, this thief. Shekvar ro shekiru ha'edim, because he knows that he was recognized by these witnesses. Vim yarog yovo ha'edim levezin v'yargu. And if he ends up killing the homeowner, the edim, the witnesses, are going to basically bring him to the gallows. You know, they're going to ensure that he's going to be executed. So he's going to be restrained because of the presence of the edim. That's Rashi and the Ramban explained. That's what's going on over here in the Targum Onkelos.
So badly, he'll get the edim as well.
Right. So it's interesting. So you say, okay, if he's ready to take out the balabas, you know, let him be ready to take out the edim as well. So again, apparently we're talking about a certain type of person, a thief, who doesn't want to kill. He doesn't want to kill. He'd be very happy for the balabas to step aside. Step aside, nobody's going to get hurt, right? He'd be very happy. He's not a murderer. He just wants to come. He just wants to plunder your house. Give the guy a break, you know? I mean, it's just, I just want to fill up my sack with everything. Come on. You know, it's all in a day's work. You know? Right, exactly. So you know, he just wants to fill up his bag. But if someone gives him a problem, so then he's going to fight back. So the only one he anticipates giving him a problem is the balabas, because the edim, you know, the edim aren't losing anything. The balabas, we know, is going to stand up for his property. The edim, you know, they're just witnesses. They're not going to risk their lives to protect this guy's property. Now, again, in real life, there may be a scenario where they would. In other words, if you hire security guards, part of what you're paying them for is actually to risk their lives in order to protect your property. That's why they make the big bucks. So that could be a scenario. But I think, you know, the assumption is these are not paid guards. These are just guys who happen to be hanging around your basement, you know, and happen to be there when this ganov comes tunneling in. So this whole discussion in the Targum Onkelos actually makes it into a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Geneva, Perek Tes, describes this halach of Baba Machteres, of the guy tunneling into the house. And he writes in Halacha Yud, Hayo hadavar barur lebal habayis. If it was clear to the homeowner, Shizeh ganov haba alav eino hargo, that the ganov, the thief, is not a threat to his life. V'lo ba ela aliske momon, and you feel fairly confident that he's just coming to steal, just quote unquote, just coming to steal. He's not coming to kill you. Asar lahargo, you're not allowed to kill him. V'im hargo haraisa harig nefesh, and if you kill him, so then you're guilty of murder. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, im zarcha Hashem esh alav. If the sun shines on him, im barer lucha adavar kashemesh, sheyesh lo shalom imcha altar geyu. Right? If it's as clear as the sun that this guy is not threatening your life, you're not allowed to kill him. Lefikach, therefore, of Habab Machteris Albino Eino Nerag Shivadai Sheino Harga. If it's the father tunneling in and it's the son who's the homeowner, the son is not allowed to kill his father because we know that the father is not going to be a threat to the life of the son. So far, what the Rabbim has done is quoted Rashi. And then Halacha Yir Aleph, he adds the following. V'chein haganov shiganav. So too, the ganov who stole stuff already, in other words, he was successful. He broke in, he filled up the bag, and now he's on the way out. V'yotza, right? And now he's leaving. O shelo ganav. Or he wasn't so successful. He failed out of Ganov school, right? He tried to break into the guy's house, and Nebuch, you know, like he couldn't find anything, so he said, okay, I'm going home. Goes back down the tunnel, and, you know, the homeowner catches up to him when he's coming out of the tunnel, you know, leaving the house. Right? Since he's turned around, so the homeowner's not allowed to kill him anymore, right? As you find parallel discussions, you know, unfortunately in recent times, right? You shoot the guy in self-defense, but you shot him in the back when he was running away already. Oh, that's not such self-defense, right? So here too as well, says the Rambam, if the guy's already left or leaving, so then the homeowner doesn't have the right to kill him anymore.
Irrespective of if he was successful or not?
Yeah, even if he was successful.
Even if he has been,
right, and again, you can try to stop him, but you can't. You can't just, you know, in other words,
because
he's 50 feet away. Right. You know, he's 50 feet away. You can't, like, pull out the gun and just shoot him in the back. You know, you can try to catch up to him and get the stuff back and whatnot, but to just summarily kill him when he's not a threat to your life anymore to get back the stuff, that you can't do.
You shoot him in the leg?
What's that? Yeah, you could shoot him in the leg, right? But, you know, to shoot to kill, that you're not allowed to do. So, v'chein, so too, im hikifu edim o b'nei adam. If the ganav is in the way in, not on the way out, he's on the way in, but he's surrounded by witnesses or other people. Afal pi shadayin hu birshus zeh sheba'alav, even though he has not left the premises, he's in the premises, right, but he's just surrounded by witnesses or by other people, ein onerag, he's not allowed to be killed. So the Rambam adds, the first scenario with the father who's invading the son's house is the scenario the Gemara gives. But then the Rambam goes on to give two other scenarios, right? Either the Ganav has left, right? Or the Ganav is surrounded by Edom. In both of those cases, we can feel confident that the Ganav is no longer a threat. The only source for the second case that the Rambam brings, where the Ganav is surrounded by Edom, is the Targum Onkelos. So here we have an interesting phenomenon with the Targum Onkelos' translation of the Pasuk. Im Zarcha Hashemesh Olav, if the Edom are there, makes it into a psak from the Rambam in terms of how to deal with this case of Bob Machteris. It's not a scenario which is described in the Gemara. It's simply from the Targum Onkelos. Not simply, but in other words, it's from the Targum Onkelos without having a direct Talmudic source. And yet, that's brought lahalacha in the Rambam in terms of another scenario of where the homeowner is not allowed to kill the Baba Machteris. I mean, if they are capable of being Edom, so... What's that? Again, it depends what the scenario would be, but right? If they're related, so then they would be possible to be Edom.
Would he possibly kill them as well as...
So then, yeah, in other words, if they're not actually Edom, right? The whole thing is that it's the Edom that will bring him to justice that prevent him from killing. But if he looks at them, he's a lambda, and he says, ha, you guys are brothers. You can't be Edom. You know, so I can do whatever I want, right? So then he's still a threat, and then he can still be neutralized, you know, by the Balabais. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lezakos, Yisrael, Lefika.